Chicago Sports Radio 6-7 to the score. Let's get out to the Home Run In Hotline. Throw one on the grill at your next cookout and visit HRIGrilling.com for instructions. You just heard Brian Cole, the surgeon who did the Bulls team doctor and also the surgeon that did Derrick Rose's procedure. And we heard Gar Forman yesterday. We get a chance to talk to him right now. He is the Bulls general manager. Good morning, Gar. How are you?
Good morning, guys. How you doing?
Hey, Gar.
We're doing great. Let's start the conversation. Go ahead.
I was going to ask you guys, do you get up early this morning and do your 5 miles and sit ups and push ups, or you wait till later in the day?
I like to split it up. I do the sit ups in the morning and push ups around lunch.
Yeah, I'm just always in awe that I got up, to be honest with you, Gar.
I've been on a 12-month rehab for about 10 years, Gar, but that's just me.
There you go. We'll look at the positive.
There you go. Hey, let's start the conversation talking about the news from yesterday, which, of course, is that you guys are picking up Tom Thibodeau's extension, and I don't think that's a surprise to anyone, but obviously there is the issue of extending him and getting him some new paper and all of that. Do you imagine that happening before next season? Do you plan on having conversations to that end? Has any of the results, and again, you know, injuries are difficult for everyone, has that changed what you guys want to do in terms of years, in terms of money? Does anything change from the conversations you've had before?
Not really. And that's what, even during the year, when it became an issue there for a while, you know, we've been pretty consistent. Obviously, the option was going to be picked up. That was never in question. And we would like for Tom, obviously he'll be our coach next year, but for him to be our coach for years to come. And we had initiated extension talks with him in the fall. When the season began, the talks were very productive. When the season began, we both sides decided to table that, and we'll pick those talks up here now that we're in the off season. But anytime, you know, I think Tom wants to remain the Bulls head coach. I think he's comfortable here and likes the team, and obviously we want Tom to be our coach. So usually when two sides have a common goal, something we'll come to some type of agreement. At least that's my hope.
Is there any danger, Gar, if it doesn't get done in the offseason? One, would you continue the talks into the season, seeing how he's only going to be on a one-year team option at that point? And is there any danger, if it doesn't get done, that people start saying, okay, the team loses, God forbid, 4 or 5 in a row, you know, Tom's in trouble? Is there, having the idea of this lame duck coach, is there any danger from a front office perspective of having that situation?
Well, I mean, I guess, you know, I don't want to speculate into next year, but again, I think our hope is that we'll get something done this summer. But in today's league, you know, there, a lot of times that's the situation. Even two, you know, prominent coaches, Rick Carlisle at Dallas and even Scott Brooks at Oklahoma City, are working in the last year of their deals. But that, we don't want to get to that point. I hate to speculate. Our goal is to get something done, and we're optimistic we'll be able to.
Is he the man for the Bulls, Gar? I mean, you know, there's a lot of talk about his coaching style. Maybe it puts too much emphasis on the regular season, and the team didn't peak in the playoffs. Obviously, the injuries were clouding the issue all year. But are you worried about his coaching style being too difficult for players in a long season, even a shortened one?
Not at all. And, you know, I've talked to this before, but Tom does a lot of things very, very well. But one of the best things that he does, in my opinion, and I watch it every day. I mean, I'm with the team on the road most of the time. I'm at practice every day, as is John and a lot of our front office. He paces our team, and I think he's got a real good feel of when to push guys and then when to back off and give guys rest. And I know our fans just see it on game night, but our guys are getting the proper amount of rest, and so it's really hasn't been a concern at all from our standpoint.
Gar, as a general manager, do you go into the offseason looking at the worst-case scenario or best-case scenario with Derrick Rose's timeline? Dr. Cole said, you know, indicated it's not 6 months, it's not 8 months, it's more likely, you know, somewhere 8 to 12, and could take even longer than that. And I know Reggie Rose told Fred Mitchell that Derrick doesn't intend to sit out the season. But as a GM, are you in the market for a starting point guard to play the entire year next year, or are you looking to say we might be able to do this with CJ, or just, you know, get someone who needs to hold the place till Derrick gets back next year?
Well, that's something, you know, we've just started to evaluate, and we've got until the free agency period starts in July to start to make some decisions. But I talked about it a little bit yesterday at the press conference. You know, to us, this is, you know, obviously we've taken a step back in the short term, and Derrick Rose won't be replaced, you know, at whatever point he comes back, you know, sometime next year. And from our standpoint, we've put a lot of time and effort into building this team, and we like the core of this team that we have under contract. And every decision we've made up to this point, we've looked at it as a long-term decision. And we really feel built around Derek and Joaquin and some of the other guys we have, that there's a long window of opportunity to have success with this team. So decisions we make this summer will be based on long-term, not short-term. We're not going to make any decisions that affect our long-term health for short-term benefit, if that makes sense. And Derek's going to be back, and Derek's going to be back as the same Derrick Rose. We don't know exactly when. And we want to continue to look at the big picture as far as building a team around him.
He's Gar Forman, the Bulls general manager, joining us, Mully and Hanley, on the score. And, you know, Gar, you mentioned the core, and obviously everyone's familiar with the – and there's been nothing but articles about the money that is committed and how close you are to that luxury tax area. Given the fact that Derek will not be available for the beginning of the season, do you exceed the luxury tax? Does the luxury tax – you know, Jerry Reinsdorf said that you'd do it if you were going to win a championship. A lot of people are wondering how it projects now with Derek's contract kicking in.
Yeah, you know, and it's a good question that you ask. I think what Jerry has said is if we're in a position to compete, that we would consider going into the tax. And obviously we've been in a position to compete the last couple of years. And then when I talk about our long-term window, we feel we're going to be in a position to compete. And I'm really confident that we will go under the tax if it makes basketball sense as far as our long-term vision with this team. And if it does, I think we'll go under the tax. But I don't think we'll go under the tax like I talked about for a short-term plug-in. But we're going to protect our assets, and we're going to continue to build this thing to have success for the next, you know, 5 to 7 to 10 years, built around Derek and some of our young pieces.
Given Derek and Joakim's injuries, no team can withstand those types of injuries and go ahead and win a championship. It's almost an impossibility. But did the way the team bowed out to the Sixers in the first round, shake your confidence in the roster? I mean, everyone talked about the bench mob and how deep this team was, and talked about it, you know, so much head and shoulders above the rest of the league. Did it shake your confidence? And do you reevaluate what you have here exactly? I know you're asking guys to do different things and for more minutes, but does it change your way of thinking about what you have currently on the roster?
Well, we're always evaluating. That's our job. And looking at how can we get better, you know, in the future. But I was really, and I think our entire front office was really proud of this team and what they accomplished. And, you know, you look back at our season and we had so many injuries and guys fought and bonded together and picked up the slack for each other. We had, I think, double the injuries this year that we had a year ago in an 82-game season. So I'm not disappointed, and I don't think any of us are, in this team. What I'm really disappointed in is that we were depleted by injuries in the postseason, and we didn't really get a chance to see what our team as a whole could do. That's the disappointment. But as far as our team, you know, winning 50 games, being the top seed in the league, you know, winning the Central Division by a wide margin, there were a lot of things to be proud of.
Yeah, everybody calls us and says the same thing, guy. They say, where's the guy outside Derrick Rose that can make his own shot, that can create his own shot? Do you need that player? Do you have that player? Is there anybody other than Derrick that is sort of the guy that creates his own shot? And was that what was missing or has been missing?
Well, I mean, we like, you know, obviously it's got to be a team effort. And, you know, I thought Carlos had a very productive year, and I know he didn't shoot it well in that last game, but I think he picked up some of the slack. Luol was an all-star. I thought Joaquin came back strong and had a good year. We're seeing the development of some of our young guys like Taj and Omir. Would we like another guy like that, you know, out on the perimeter? Of course we would. But, you know, that's our job over the next year or a couple of years to try to find, you know, that another piece to go into the puzzle. But, you know, we, again – you know, we think long-term that there's really still a lot of positive, that we're in a very good position moving forward. And some of that, not only with the players we have, are some of the assets that we have looking down the road with the Charlotte pick that's going to be very valuable, right, and Meritich, who's playing over in Spain. So we still think, you know, that the future's bright, but no question in the short term we've taken a hit.
Gar, I'm sure you get as strong reaction as we do about Carlos Boozer and the money. We judge people on where they're drafted, the money they make, and what expectations are. Most Bulls fans, many Bulls fans, think that Carlos has underperformed since he got the big money from the Bulls. Will there be a conversation about amnesty in that contract, or do you just say, you know what, it's got to get better, and hopefully it does?
Well, I think Carlos had a very productive year. And you look back, and he's the only guy on our team that played every game and practiced every day. On a team that won more games than anybody in the NBA, he was our second leading scorer and our second leading rebounder. So, you know, we're looking forward to Carlos continuing to make progress. And again, I know the last game clouds it a little bit, even though, you know, he was very productive in a couple of games before that. And even in that last game, in 27 minutes, he had 13 boards. But I anticipate Carlos being with us and having another very productive year next season.
Could he win Sixth Man of the Year, Gar?
You know, it's not, you know, we're not, it's hard to speculate, you know, as far as individual players and what their roles will be in the next year. And you know, obviously a big part of that is Tom and his plans as far as putting a team together on the court. But we're happy Carlos Boozer is here. And like I said, we like the core of the team that we have under contract.
You have some options on guys coming up, and you also have Omer's a restricted free agent. I guess the good thing is, you know, the cost certainty, you know, if someone steps up and gives them an offer sheet, the most they can give them, so you can budget that. But the three guys who you have options on, you know, how quickly do you make evaluations on that?
Well, really, we've got, you know, into July, and that's where, you know, we're just starting our postseason meetings and meeting with our coaching staff and our scouting staff and with you know, Jerry and Michael. And we've got time, you know, to make decisions. We've got a number of decisions to make, and we'll make what we feel is the best decision. Again, looking more long-term than short-term. Omer, you know, we've basically already made that decision. And, you know, Omer is a big part of what we do and we think of our future. And I would anticipate us matching, you know, anything for him that's not totally ridiculous.
What about the Olympics? You said you're going to talk to Lou Deng. I heard you say that yesterday. I mean, boy, the conversation changes a bit, doesn't it? I mean, I understand what it means to Lou, but at the same time, you know, if he does need the surgery and he plays in the Olympics and now you're behind next year, it just seems like things have changed a little bit. And as much as you appreciate the guy gutting it out the way he did this year, man, you know, you can't really afford to go into a season without him, can you?
Well, obviously, he's a huge part of what we do, and I thought Lou Hall, you know, being an all-star, had a terrific season for us. But like I mentioned yesterday, our biggest concern is Lou Hall's health, and I know that's the concern of our fans, and I know that's Lou Hall's concern. And we really, with everything that was going on this weekend with Derek, we haven't had a chance to sit down with Lou Hall and our medical staff and really dig deep as far as where we're at and having a plan going forward. So it's hard to speculate, but, you know, we're looking forward to having those conversations sometime this next week.
Well, I know he's going to play the Olympics. I know you can't do anything to stop that if you wanted to because of the CBA. But, Gar, when you look at this thing, is surgery inevitable? Are you going to, in the conversation, to say, okay, here's what we can't do. You play the Olympics, then you take 6 weeks to see if it heals on its own, and then you have the surgery, and now you're set back that much more. If you're playing the Olympics, we got to get that thing operated on and get this timeline started.
Yeah, I don't know if surgery is inevitable. And that's what we've got to sit down and kind of see exactly where he's at and visit with him. Again, with the concern being his health. So it wouldn't be fair for me to speculate until we've really sat down and dug deep and done all our work.
Joakim's playing for France, and he's, you know, I don't know, the ankle sprain wasn't serious enough. I you know, the talk when it initially happened was it was a month. Is that, I mean, is that another one, or do you, is the ankle going to be okay, and maybe he gets better playing for France, although he is playing against the U.S., for God's sake.
Well, it should be okay, but it was a severe ankle sprain, and he's going to be rehabbing that thing probably at least a good 3 or 4 weeks, and we'll keep tabs on where that's at, but we're hopeful and anticipate he'll be fine here in, you know, 4 to 6 weeks.
Gar, you got a late draft pick. I mean, you know, you mentioned having the Charlotte pick. You mentioned the kid in Europe. And, you know, you have another kid in Europe. Well, he's not a kid. He's about 30 years old. Vera Miko or something. I don't know. Do you envision making a move in the draft? Do you stay where you're at? You've had good success with hopefully guys like Jimmy Butler, certainly Taj Gibson. What do you think about trying to do something using some of these things that you have?
It's always a possibility, yeah. And we'll research it. But, you know, we've done obviously a lot of work on this year's draft, uh-huh. and we feel pretty good that it's a deep draft and that we'll be able to get a player that could possibly play a role for us, you know, next year and into the future. And our scouting staff has done an excellent job. We've been fortunate enough to find some players, you know, like a Jimmy Butler and a Taj Gibson yeah. in the late 20s. And so we're optimistic we'll be able to find another guy this year.
Great stuff, Gar. We appreciate your time. You know, everybody, we're all playing the what-if game, watching Chris Bosh go down. I'm sure it's difficult for you, but maybe, boy, you got a lot of work to do.
Enjoy your summer there, Gar.
I mean, it's going to be – we've got some decisions to make. But again, and I know our fans are the best in the league and have supported us. You know, short term it's a hit, but long term we still feel we're in a really good position, and we've got a lot of assets, and we're going to be just fine, and Derek's going to be just fine. So, anyhow, I'm going to check in with you guys later. Make sure you did those 5 miles.
I was going to say, you make sure you budget time for the 5 miles and the sit ups and the push ups yourself during this busy summer.
All right, I will.
Thanks, Gar.
Okay, guys.